Hello and welcome to Keyframe as part of the Geek Show podcast, discussing all kinds of anime, cartoons, or anything animation. Today, we're joined with Rob.
Hello.
And Lewis.
Yo, yo, what's up, bros and sisters too, I guess.
And myself, Mark. And today on the podcast, we've got a few bits of news and also some reviews.
Yes. Yes, we do. First up to bat on the news, Turner and Warner Brothers, they have announced a new platform, a new streaming platform in the US, which is probably going to go global. I don't know why they still do this whole kind of region locking stuff for these sorts of things. It's a Boomerang platform. Now, if you know the Boomerang TV channel, you'll know that Boomerang shows all these old cartoons and stuff like that.
Is it still around?
Yeah, Boomerang is still on TV. It's still on Sky and cable and stuff like that. And Turner and Warner Brothers have launched a new initiative, which marks the first time that these two companies have offered the massive Hanna-Barbera, Looney Tunes, and MGM animation library of more than 5,000 titles on a streaming platform. And I think it'll cost something like $5 a month.
Yeah, so that's probably going to work out well. They're probably just going to convert it to like £5 over here, aren't they?
Yeah, or £3.50 or whatever.
£4.99.
Yeah, £4.99, sorry, yeah. But it's a ridiculous amount of content to put online, and all of it is like classic cartoons, Scooby-Doo, Jetsons, Flintstones, there's all the Looney Tunes stuff with Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and stuff like that, and then there's all the MGM stuff as well. And I mean, my God, it literally is just, you could lose yourself in that for an entire year.
Yeah, it's like a treasure trove of stuff. I'm just happy we can finally watch Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures on there. I'm thinking, oh no, what was the first Pac-Man called? The animated series.
Yeah, I think it's. I think so.
We can see how good the Christmas special was, because that's apparently rubbish.
Normally when you think of animation streaming services, you think anime, so it's good to see some of Western cartoons, I guess.
Yeah, because Netflix and Amazon only have like a very small selection, especially of older stuff. I know Netflix just recently put He-Man and the Masters of the Universe on, but look at stuff like anything over like the past few years, and it's very hard to find it.
And which He-Man and Masters of the Universe? He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Are you talking about?
I think it's the original series.
Seriously, the original series with at the end of it going, "Remember, kids, stay in school, don't do drugs."
I couldn't even get through it for one episode. It's like, yeah, this is so 80s. I was just like, yeah, I'm not really into this at the moment.
Because they
advice
did
that every successful person has taken, clearly.
Because they did the reboot, which forewent all of the extraneous, I don't know, trying to force people into a mold of goodness and kindness and, you know, truth and justice in the American way. But anyway, back to Boomerang. I like the fact that Boomerang are doing this, because it means that you can sit there with like your nephews, nieces, or kids if you have them, and you can introduce them to the cartoons that you might have grown up with if you're my age.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they can choose as well. And
yeah.
And it all depends on, like I said, they've got like that much content, and I'm just trying, off the top of my head, I'm just trying to think of some of the other stuff that isn't Looney Tunes and Hanna-Barbera that they will have.
Well, there's because the MGM
off the top of my head, I'm just,
as well.
My mind's drawn a blank of what MGM actually had.
Well, don't forget, I mean, if they're talking about 5,000 titles, which means you're going to have stuff like Duck Dodgers in the 24 and a half century.
Yeah, Tom and Jerry, I'd imagine, will be on there.
Yeah, Tom and Jerry are definitely going to be on there. But you're going to have some of those classic Looney Tunes animations, you know, What's Opera Doc is going to be on there. I think that was voted one of the greatest cartoons ever made, just in terms of how it was animated, the whole concept of it. How it just worked on so many levels in terms of the drama.
It's the test of time, so.
Yeah, it stood the test of time, and people watch it now. I mean, it's one of those, if you do certain animation courses at university, they'll basically bring up What's Opera Doc and get you to watch it, just so you can see, this is how they used to do it, and this is how the best used to do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, who's happy about Boomerang?
Yeah, I'm interested in it. Only thing for me is that this is yet another thing I'm going to have to now subscribe to.
Yeah, I don't particularly care personally, but I think it's a good thing.
Well, we know what's happened if the next time we do a show, Mark turns up and all you can hear is, meh, meh, because you've been watching too much Roadrunner.
It's just, I think at the moment, it's like I've got Netflix, I've got Crunchyroll, and I've got Amazon Prime, and it's like, at this point, I'm a little bit hesitant to subscribe to yet another thing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, could or not have just put, like, getting some sort of agreement and had it included in my Netflix, like, subscription, you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
But that's just the way the things are, and I don't doubt that Disney's going to do the same thing and pull out a rare thing where you can get all of the Disney classics and
they already
stuff
have.
Like that
that's a good call, because, you know, all of that stuff's usually on TV. I guess there's a realization that people aren't watching TV so much, so why not have people pay to have it streamed into them instead?
Isn't there like an entire Disney Channel already called the Disney Channel where they show a lot of this stuff?
Yeah, but of course.
That's
but
on
again,
Sky, isn't it? So it's like a lot of people now with Netflix, and especially with these.
Disney have a streaming service. Disney have their own streaming service where they show a lot of these old things.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah,
neither did I.
They announced it a while ago, and it's been up and running. I think it costs like £12 a month or something like that.
Yeah, that's probably why I wasn't aware of it.
Anyway, leaving Boomerang to one side, DMM.com. What's happening with DMM.com, Mark?
They were known for doing like browser games and like social games, and they've like pretty much announced that they're going to be officially stepping into the world of anime production.
DMM.com, so, why does that name sound familiar?
They did, Kantai Collection, which we were just talking about, Toucan Rambo.
Toucan Rambo, and Kantai Collection. Yeah. Did you know?
They've got the flagship, they had the title, like the game versions of them.
If you wanted to play Kantai Collection, you can on the iPhone in the UK.
Can you?
Yeah. There's a version of it for the UK called Kantai Girls, I think it is.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Why'd they have to change the name?
I don't know.
I have no idea. But, maybe because there wasn't a collection to it.
There are a lot more of these strange games from Japan for smartphones that have started appearing on the App Store or on the Play Store.
Yeah,
you'll find them if you look for them, and it's just kind of, I'm not sure what's going on here. Why are we suddenly having this influx of strange Japanese games?
I haven't really played any of them, but I'm guessing they're similar to like the Love Live game, which I have but not played for a while.
Pretty much, it's like a lot of them, like stuff like,
and you get cards in a lot of them or something.
Yeah, you get collectible stuff and you can use in-app purchases to do stuff and stuff like that. And yeah, it's, I think it's just because it's easy to put it on the iPhone.
I just noticed there's a lot of like weeb games just popping up here and there now. I guess enough people are buying them for companies to turn a profit off of them, or they're trying to push them.
Stuff like, especially the iPhone, if you want to put a game out on, say, the PlayStation or the Nintendo Switch, you've got to go to Sony and Nintendo and get all of that authorized, and then if it's a physical one, you've got to get stuff printed and stuff like that. Apple pretty much has, I don't sound horrible, they have very little quality control, so you can literally just get stuff, put an English translation of it and put it up within like a day. If you request to have it put on, they'll probably just within a few minutes they'll just accept it and it'll be on the on the store. Whereas otherwise, like obviously stuff like PlayStation, Sony, and Nintendo, you've got to jump through hoops just to get them on their thing.
Yeah,
Steam is a bit different. Steam seems to be very much for like the stuff like them, because obviously you've got the mods and stuff like that. And I think it was Bethesda was saying that, in order to get a patch up for, I think I'm going to say Skyrim because that's the only one I can remember off the top of the head, they got like the patch up to fix some issues on Steam within like 2 or 3 days. Sony took them 7 months.
Yeah. leaving those things to one side, one of the interesting things, because you were mentioning about the iPhone stuff, one of the things that I found hilarious on the iPhone was there was a company having a... they had the, one of those games where you have to collect all the girls and stuff like that and have them fight on your behalf. And they basically had four versions of exactly the same game that were going out, but they'd call them by different names.
But I think it's just one of those things. I think it's just that because, obviously, especially in Japan, obviously, a lot of people do have the mobiles. And obviously, over here, a lot of people have mobiles, but it's just easy just to get stuff out on a platform which everybody has, rather than jumping through hoops to get through somebody who we're a lot more limited to, you know what I mean?
Yep. Anyway, we were talking about DMM.com.
Very weird games out there, but DMM.com, they're going to be releasing some, or at least getting behind some series. I believe that they're starting...
They've got around...
...and production, and they're starting with Eccentric Family Season 2.
Isn't Eccentric Family Season 2 out soon?
Yeah, next month.
So they're probably already in production for that, or coming to the end of production for that.
I think they're doing like a new label. I think they're just like taking some of the stuff that they have the rights to, maybe for the online game.
Yeah.
And just kind of putting their stamp on it, you know what I mean?
So it's not so much that they're doing the animation, it's more like they're a distribution company rather than the animation company. So, okay, that makes more sense then.
It says here that they're taking part in the licensing and production of new anime.
Yeah,
so I'm assuming that is like they're going to have the license. They're going to be the license holders for it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it hasn't reached 10 a year yet. So it's under 10 anime a year. So it's still quite a low figure compared to some of the companies that are actually in the business at the moment. But I mean, the other one that they're working on at the moment is Kenkabancho Otome, which is Girl Beats Boys, which is one of those reverse harem type things. And then the rival, the long awaited rival to Free, which is Dive.
I love how
gosh, they're not even trying with that name.
I'm gonna go on a tangent here and I've just noticed because I'm probably reading the same thing as you, Rob. And it says Dive in capital letters with two exclamation marks because much like Free and Keijo, anything that is a swimming anime seems to have or swimsuits. Seems to need to have some exclamation marks behind it.
Yes,
you well, know it's not the quite hilarious mine. Thing is that I haven't seen the name in writing, but you didn't have to tell me that. I pretty much assumed it just from the way Rob pronounced it.
Yeah, and the other thing as well about it is it's got two exclamation marks, which means it's aggressive and you know it's in your
it's
face.
It's exciting and high tension.
It's high tension, but it isn't mad. It isn't insane because it hasn't used three. If it uses three exclamation marks, only crazy people use three exclamation marks.
But somebody actually put a thing on, because I remember some people getting really annoyed about it because I think they had three, Yuri on Ice, and I can't remember what the other one was, but it had the more exclamation points in a series means the more like boy love. And then everybody was responding with Keijo, which had like six exclamation marks, and everybody was getting all upset because they were disturbing the peace of the boy love.
I was going to say, what's going to happen with K on season three then? Like, does that mean everyone goes insane because they have to add another exclamation mark to indicate it's season three?
Oh, God, I forgot about that one where they added an exclamation mark for seasons. Hang on, so I can't watch Dive. I haven't seen the first season then because this one has two exclamation marks.
Yeah, because it was K-On and then it's K-On for season two.
How does Full Metal Panic work with it? Because wasn't the second season of that had an exclamation mark and a question mark?
Yeah, and then you had Fumofu, and you're like...
I did not notice that, or I forgot about that.
I think it was just Full Metal Panic, and I think Fumofu was the one where I had the exclamation mark and the question mark, just to show it was kind of like a little bit confusing. And
oh, yeah, I think Fumofu
Full Metal Panic you may have expected.
Yeah. The other thing that DMM.com have in the works, which hasn't actually been scheduled yet, is the remake of Legend of the Galactic Heroes.
Yeah, I misread that at first, and I got quite excited because I thought that was just Legend of Heroes. I was just like, are we actually getting an anime adaption of Trails in the Sky or Trails of Cold Steel? I was just like, yes. And I was like, oh, Legend of the Galactic Heroes. I was like, yeah, that's slightly different. But that's one that they've just lost, haven't they? They've just closed the service, I think, for it.
That's the game. That's the smartphone, the browser game they closed the service for. But they might actually do a smartphone game for Legend of the Galactic Heroes if they start production on this at some point.
Yeah, I think they'll have, if they've just closed the servers, I think if they do an anime, they'll reopen them or they'll do something to tie in with it, because it'll, a lot of these games, like, they do make a lot of the money off people reading or watching the animes and then being like, oh, I want a little bit more of this. I like this Bishi character. I want to have them in my collection of four different cards and stuff like that. But yeah, it's all good.
Thing is, I am actually happy that they're finally looking at doing a remake of Legend of the Galactic Heroes, because it is an amazing series. And it's one of those shows where, it's one of those anime where a lot of people don't want to watch it because everybody seems to love it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason why a lot of people love it, and the reason is literally the story is that good. But it's dated.
Seen it.
It's dated horribly, okay? It's aged quite badly. The subtitles, dubs, everything like that, they haven't really worked as well, because we're talking about an older anime.
Yeah.
So doing an updated version, I'm hoping they follow the Hunter x Hunter route with this and basically do a faithful reproduction, a faithful remake, where they keep all of the story elements. They're doing a similar thing with Yamato at the moment, especially with the movies. And I'm hoping they do something like that with Legend of the Galactic Heroes, because it is worth it. And I would love to see a modernized version of that story.
Yeah, I mean, I've just had a quick look on to see what it looks like, and it looks kind of like that traditional anime thing. Like, it was, I'm assuming it was 90s it was released.
I think it was the 80s, wasn't it?
80s, 90s, but it looks like that kind of like Gundam, like Galaxy Railways type style of like animation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm all for that. If they get a remake out of it, I'm happy to pick that up.
So yeah. Anyway, that was your news. We only had two stories, and we made them stretch. So we're going to take a break there, and we'll be back with some anime.
Hello, do you like films? Well, wow, that's good. We're over the first hurdle. If you like films, and you also like podcasts, you should probably check out the Geek Show's only dedicated movie podcast, Cinema Eclectica. Well-staffed with a trained array of helper monkeys, we review all of the latest films every week, and do it reasonably well.
Hi, and welcome back to Keyframe, and now we have some reviews.
That's right, I have Dramatical Murder. Now,
just stop one second.
Yeah.
Dramatical Murder.
Yeah. And
did you say first, dramatical or grammatical?
Dramatical.
With a D, not a G.
Yeah.
Right, okay, because I heard Grammatical Murder, so I was really confused for a second there.
I heard Dramatical.
I was thinking, how is murder grammatical? What's going on here? Who's killed with words?
Grammatical and even a word?
Grammatical, yeah.
Dramatical.
Dramatical, I'm not sure.
Well, it's the drama part of it is in capital letters, and the rest of it is in lowercase, so it's even more confusing.
Okay.
So it's like the half shouting it, half just like telling you it. But yeah, shall I start from the beginning of the whole thing?
Yes.
Right, so I have, we have Dramatical Murder. That is dramatical with the drama part in shouting at you with the rest of it in lowercase. Now, this is an anime adaption from about 3 years ago based on a Boy Love visual novel originally created by the company Nitro Plus. They are the ones who brought us Steins Gate and Chaos Head. But the Dramatical Murder one takes all of that and removes the love from the boy love. So what we kind of have is just boys.
Is there any? I was going to say, is there any science in there? But I guess it's not part of the science adventure series.
It is a sci-fi like adventure type futuristic type thing.
Okay.
About this lad called Alba, who lives, I think, lives on like a scrap heap type thing. He's like a junkyard guy who has like the most weird fashion sense ever, because he like normally when you'd expect to see somebody like with like a junkyard person, they might have like some oily clothes or something that they could use in junkyard, but he has like a very, very, very white, massive jacket which has blue all over and has blue hair and has big purple headphones.
Sorry.
It kind of reminds us of the male version of Super Sonico, to be honest.
Hang on. He lives in a junkyard and he's wearing a white coat that never gets dirty.
No, it doesn't. It's kind of, I think he lives in a junkyard. It's not really, it doesn't really kind of explains what he actually does like for his normal thing. He just kind of mooches around, but he's like this scrap dealer kind of guy. It really is not clear in the anime what he actually is or who he is. He's just kind of like this blue-haired bishy guy who kind of looks like with weird fashion sense. But yeah, it's told from his perspective, and he meets like a bunch of other, I'm not even going to say interesting characters, because nearly all of the other male characters are practically just terrible. They're not even interesting in the slightest, except for one, which is the android human Clea.
Is this the one wearing the gas mask all the time?
Yeah. Out of all of them, he was kind of like a little bit interesting, but the others were kind of just like, yeah, this is the bishy guy with the tattoos. Hey, this is the bishy guy with the piercings. Yeah, this is the big, massive, huge, bishy guy.
I see what you're
saying. And it's kind of like, they just kind of go through the whole of that, but the whole overall plot is kind of like, Alba has this weird ability where he can kind of like control people. It's really not clear what he actually does, but it's like, he gets in like this, there's like this big overarching game, and he's got a pet dog, which can turn into a human for some reason, and it's just kind of like, it's just all of this stuff like they kind of throw at you, and it's like, even towards the end, none of it pieces together. It's kind of like, it can't decide whether it's trying to tell like a normal story or if it's trying to like kind of show off these different guys. Now they have removed a lot of the boy love part of it, so kind of all you're getting is like all these introductions to all of these different characters and one or two episodes about them, but there's nothing really comes out from it. It kind of like they tried to put the boy love into it, but they just didn't, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But no, the whole series, it's just kind of like, I can understand why they've released it, because I mean, the game was really popular and the series was really popular like 3 or 4 years ago. But I kind of feel that if they should have released it, they should have just adapted the source material. But they kind of wanted to go for other, they didn't want to. They kind of wanted to reach out to a different market, and then kind of like, I feel like a lot of the people who wanted to watch it were girls anyway, and they wouldn't have minded that, if you know what I mean. A lot of girls like watch some of these because that's what they want to see. They want to see the boy love, and it's kind of like, yeah, you should have just did that, because really you weren't really appealing to many guys. And I feel ashamed that I was one of the few people who actually watched it.
It sounds a bit like...
reminds me of Arcana Famiglia, which I reviewed some time ago. Like, when people review something that I'm not familiar with, I just bring up pictures on Google to try and get like a feel of what it's like.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, from what I can see, something that's designed to appeal to girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a sexual way to some degree. But with Arcana Famiglia, they toned down all of the reverse harem stuff and made it like really sort of light, as if they're trying to, again, make it accessible to guys as well. But I kind of, or what's the point? You might as well keep it as it was originally.
It's like,
this seems to be the same thing.
It's like for the normal harem things, it's like if they try to change a normal harem for girls, and it's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of not really hitting the point of it, if you know what I mean.
Well, I don't know, because there is some harem stuff out there that appeals to both girls and boys.
Oh, yeah, there is, but a lot of them don't get changed, like, drastically from the source material just to appeal to the others. That was just kind of what the source material was.
I mean, Dramatical Murder, to me, it sounds a lot like Number Six. Are you guys familiar with Number Six?
I've heard of it.
Number Six was, it was kind of not very good. And this sounds a lot like Number Six, where Number Six was basically another boys' love thing. And there was a bit more emphasis on the relationship between the two main characters. But ultimately, it was very, very, very bland.
Yeah, that was basically this. I mean, to be fair, to give it Dramatical Murder some credit, Clea is an interesting character. And a lot of the minor characters, like the old woman who he lives with, or the police cop, I think he was called Akushima, he was really interesting because he just kind of like, he's like a traditional police cop, like if you see, like, if you know Gumshoe from Phoenix Wright.
Yeah.
It kind of looks a little bit like him, with a little bit like of more longer hair, who stands on top of cars and shouts at different people with a megaphone. However, the megaphone can turn into like this awesome looking gun. And it's like, he appeared like once or twice in the anime, but it's like, yeah, I was really more interested in him than I was a lot of the other characters who were like, they were really focusing on.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things. I mean, the one thing I do want to point out is on the Blu-ray is that there is an OVA, which actually puts a lot of the boy love in, and but they go far too extreme. It's like
because they put the murder
into the Dramatical Murder because the OVA is literally, I think there's about five different romance options in the game, and the OVA is literally the end of that. So it was literally, it's like, he has sex with a guy. And the other one's like, he has his head chopped off and then has sex with a guy. And
I thought what you said before was just kind of wrong. You know, when you said, you know, they put the boys' love in.
Yeah, but they put in like really bad. But it's like I said, so it goes from what like being kind of not really about the boy love to like, yeah, this guy's getting like raped in every single like option here. And that was really surprising. Obviously, they have it censored out. They've kept it in, but they've censored the whole thing out. So it's kind of like, was there really much point in putting it in? I can't really decide. But
the girls will use their imagination. I'm sure they're fine with it.
But most of the girls watch the anime and then download the game. Or found the images online for the game. Do not look at the images online for the game.
I wasn't going to. All I was going to do was...
Nitro Plus did make Cyanuta, so they're pretty capable of making some pretty messed up stuff.
We're speaking from the male perspective. I mean, it's not something that we're going to be...
It's too gay in here sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not something that I'm personally going to be interested in, but it's like, yeah, that's there for the girls, you know what I mean? But
well, not just for the girls. I think
we've got to be fair. It's not really my kind of cup of tea.
Yeah, because you're heterosexual.
I'm straight too.
Yeah. if you were bi or gay, then maybe it is your type of gay.
I mean, so this is really popular with
a
lot of guys who are bi or gay as well.
Yeah,
and that's fine.
But all I'm saying. Let's be clear. It's not just the girls anymore.
Yeah, but that's kind of one of the other things that kind of like confuses me about this, because this is a series that was really popular 3 or 4 years ago, but this is now...
It wasn't that popular, was it?
No, but in the conventions, it was like loads of people doing... They released all of the characters in Nendoroids. It was like...
Really?
Stupidly popular when it released. This was at the same time when Free Season 2 was coming out, so it was like people were jumping off Free and watching this.
Yeah, but the thing is, I remember when this came out, and a lot of the buzz from the community side of things, a lot of the buzz within the online community, it wasn't that well received. Yeah, people were jumping onto it on the back of Free, but a lot of people were watching it and going, why am I watching this? This is crap.
Yeah, see, I went to London MCM, like, literally just after this finished.
Yeah.
And this series, the amount of cosplayers, like, were, like, so huge compared, if you think of stuff like One Piece or Attack on Titan, where you expect to see a lot of cosplayers. this was just on another level. There must have been about 300, 400 people just at that one dramatical murder meet. It was that big.
Could that be because of the costumes themselves rather than the actual show itself?
I think it was the characters and the costumes. Like okay. You said, it was popular with like girls and gay and bi people. So obviously it just came out. It was still quite fresh in people's minds. So obviously a lot of people were doing them. Obviously the game was pretty popular as well. I think the game was more popular after the series kind of came out and people were like, yeah, this is like, I like the look of the guy and I want to date this other guy. And it's like, we'll go play the game so we can do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was pretty popular when it back in London MCM 2014. But now, I don't know anybody who even likes it. It's like, they're kind of like, when I saw the DVD like getting announced, I was like, yeah, who is this for? It's like most people who wanted it kind of saw it then. And I don't know anybody, especially the people who were like diehard fans of it, they were kind of like, yeah, I'm not into that anymore. It's kind of...
Yeah,
I do have one question, really, though.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He was talking about odd fashion sense. Why does that guy have knives stuck in his back? Is that just part of his costume, or what?
Which character is this one?
The one with the hat.
Yeah, he is like obsessed with pain.
Yeah.
And gets tattoos in like weird places.
Okay, just so this he can is feel definitely the pain. Bat material.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I think in the ending of it, he kind of just like kills Alba, decapitates his head, and then has...
So he actually has knives stuck in his back, and he's not dead. He just walks around like that.
Yeah, he just enjoys it.
Neat.
Okay,
but
cool.
But yeah, Dramatica Murder, not a good series. I am going to give us some credit in that the music for it is actually pretty fantastic.
Okay, cool.
So it's worth, if you want to do it, just download the audio.
It looks quite stylish.
The CD or something like that, and just check out the openings and the endings, because they were pretty decent.
Okay, cool. So my turn now then, is it?
Yeah.
Right, okay. I'm going to start this one off by introducing something completely different, but also related to it. Kotobukiya have a model kit line that they've been running for a little bit called the Frame Arms series. And they've got a new model kit series and an anime associated with it that's coming soon called Frame Arms Girl.
Oh.
Right. Now, this is basically you have a female character in kind of an Infinite Stratos type armor suit type thing, and they fly around, fight each other, blah, 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 blah. Right?
Right.
And everyone thinks Infinite Stratos, yay, that was the first thing that did that, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. Because Frame Arms Girl isn't about human characters, it's about little dolls that basically put on armor, go into a virtual environment, fight each other in kind of an angelic layer type thing.
Uh-huh.
Right? But Frame Arms Girl, I looked at this and my first thought was, that looks a lot like Busou Shinki.
I'm looking at some of the images and it looks kind of like, I can't remember what it's called. Was it Xenogears, the Cosmos Girl from that? And I'm thinking of, was it Cyborg Police 99 as well or something? That had looks similar to this.
Yeah, but if you look at Frame Arms Girl and then you look at Busou Shinki, they're almost identical.
Yeah, I can see it now.
Right. And MVM are releasing Busou Shinki this month, I believe. And it's a strange little anime. It's only about 12 episodes, 13 episodes long.
Mm-hmm.
And it pitches itself as a slice of life battle story set in a future where there hasn't been World War III, there hasn't been an alien invasion, there hasn't been anything like that happened. It's just an ordinary future, you know, kind of boring. But there is a new form of entertainment in this world which involves these 6-inch tall figures,
uh-huh.
And they're all female, and they're equipped with intelligence and emotions, and you can use them to fight in virtual environments against other figures. These figures are called Shinki, and this is the story of a particular Shinki called Arnval Mark II and her master,
mm-hmm.
And the story of how her and her master, Masato, somehow end up with a... he ends up with kind of a shinky harem, and it's really strange and in some episodes kind of sweet and charming at the same time. But it's the whole series. I mean, this is basically, this is, I wouldn't say it's kind of a second series. It's more of a reimagining of the original Busoshinki Moon Angel ONA. And you know, original net animation, that means, for all you people who don't know what that means. And that was released in 2011. And then Busoshinki Armored War Goddesses, Armored War Goddess, that came out in 2012. And I think that was around the time that Infinite Stratos first reared its head as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, Infinite Stratos must be about 2011, 2012, I think.
Yeah, and there's a bit of a crossover in terms of the designs of the characters when they're in combat, and they've got like all the extraneous bits and all the robotic bits and everything like that. But that's where the difference ends, because I've got to say, if I had to sit down and watch one of these shows by choice, I'd rather watch Busoshinki. It starts off with a battle between a strong, stern, silent type Shinki and another Shinki who seems to be desperate in the battle. And then this strong, stern, silent Shinki wins this battle and raises the sword aloft in the air and striking a heroic pose. And at that point, the animation, the art style, the cinematography, everything is just superb. I mean, we're talking really, really, really good. It has flowing action. It has the camera panning around really, really smoothly. It has, you know, really fluid character movements. And the first time I watch this, I'm sitting there going, actually, this looks quite interesting. I wonder what this is. And so I'm sitting there, I'm watching it. And then the next thing, it switches over to a six inch high Anvil Mark II waking up. And you remember you were talking about that gate box? Now, imagine the gate box didn't have a hologram, but had a six-inch figure who basically jumped out of it and ran over to you and started poking you in the cheek, going, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Ew. I mean, aw.
This is the thing, right? When it's a hologram, it's okay to go, yeah, that's a bit creepy. But when it's an actual autonomous figure with intelligence and emotions, it becomes more like a pet. You know.
Yeah.
All I can imagine is like something like Toy Story, only like in an anime shop.
Yeah, it is kind of like that. And this is the thing, Moon Angel, Busoshinki is, it's a bit weird because you're basically watching this story about a guy and his doll, right? But then I thought, hang on, that was basically Angelic Lair, and yeah, it was a girl and a doll, but we, you know, this is a progressive age. So why can't a guy have a doll?
Yeah.
And once you get to that point, you can... Yeah, it's fine now. So...
It's like anything, just accepting people do what they do, and then things become... don't seem quite so surprising.
Yeah. So anyway, the Shinki, through happenstances and circumstances and even just general purchase, Masato ends up with four Shinki in his possession. And these four Shinki, Arnval has taken it upon herself to try and be like the big sister thing. And so they spend their days, and a lot of this is less about the relation, because all of the Shinki, they love Masato as their master, and they call him master. But that's kind of their program to do that, but not in that kind of way. But a lot of it is kind of the cute antics. It's one of those cute girls do cute things in cute ways. It
sounds a little bit like K-On! Mixes Master Chief sucks at Halo, if anyone knows of that, or RV and Chief, to be more specific.
Yeah. It is kind of like that, because a lot of it... There's one episode where you have one of the Shinki with one of those, you know, those top knot wig-type things on, where it's bald with the side bits and the top knot. She's playing the evil. She's playing the evil landlord, and then you have and it's basically what they're doing. They're playing pop up pirate with one of the Shinki as the pirate, and it's little things
like that. And since they compete, like, there should be one that gets salty every time they lose.
Yeah, there is. But the thing is,
awesome.
There's this lovely little charm about those moments when it's just the Shinki themselves and they're interacting with each other or exploring the environment and stuff like that. And yes, they do have battles and stuff like that. And the combat is really well done.
Mm-hmm.
But the real highlight of this series, and I'll be honest, it's not a great series, okay? There are issues with it. It's a slice of life one, and it barely makes it into the slice of life thing, right?
Mm.
It has very little underlying story. The characters don't really have as much depth as I would prefer. You don't really get to know all that much about Masato. It would be nice to know more about him as a character and why he's so attached to... you do get to know more about why he's attached to Arnval, but why he is the way he... You know, why he's basically living by himself, a lot more about him, and seeing his character develop, you know?
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see his character develop, since he is supposed to be one of the main characters. But with the Shinki themselves, when they're interacting with each other, that's where one of the joys of this series is, because they're cute and a little bit silly and very, very goofy at times. I mean, you have the Arnval, who's, you know, kind of the cute sister type one, but then you have the militaristic one who only knows like war and everything like that. But now she's here with Arnval, and she's like, "Well, I should be in combat, but you don't need to go to combat. But I should be in combat, but you don't need to go to combat. But I should be in combat, but you don't need to go be in combat. But I should be." Ooh, this cake is nice. It's basically like that, right? And you have these scenes where it's just really, really cute. But it's... Busou Shinki is kind of like, you know, when you have that candy and you can have a little bit of it, but if you eat too much of it, it'll make you sick.
Yeah.
It starts to taste a bit samey after a while.
Yeah, it starts to taste a bit samey after a while. And it's an interesting idea, this whole thing about having these dolls who can basically fight and everything like that. But it's an idea that I've seen a few times before. As I said, Frame Arms Girl is doing it again. Angelic Lear already did it, but it wasn't an intelligent doll. Angelic Lear's approach, I thought, was much better, where it was a doll that you basically... It was an angel that you basically developed and created yourself, and then you fought against other angels in an arena where these things actually came alive. But they were only alive in the arena and controlled by your mind. Sorry?
Like the Smash Brothers trophies.
Yeah, basically, like the Smash Brothers trophies. But Angelic Lear, I think, had the right approach to it. Moon Angel is more of a... what's the word I'm looking for?
It means to sell the figures.
Well, Moon Angel. Busou Shinki, it is kind of a means to sell figures, but it's more of a wish fulfillment anime.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the detriment is. If they basically removed this idea of wish fulfillment from the anime and just tried to do an actual story, it might have actually worked really well. Because, as you said, there are Toy Story elements to this, and they really could have made them work. I'm reading a comic series right now that's being published by IDW called Micronauts. Micronauts is an old Marvel franchise and an old toy franchise, and I basically grew up with the comics, and I loved Micronauts as a comic back when I was a kid. And the IDW version is really good as well. But Micronauts kind of highlights just how interesting it would be for a 6-inch high figure in the human world, because it's basically Land of the Giants, and they've basically got to try and do things in the Land of the Giants when, you know, and you could take the idea of Busou Shinki or Frame Arms Girl or something like that, and you could really make it work into something that could have comedy and drama and all of that good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Even if they, like, make something that's still, like, just comedy-based, I feel like...
Yeah.
The problem that there is with Busou Shinki, if the implication it gets a bit samey, is the way slice of life anime comedy is, there's so much of a reliance on similar jokes and stuff like that because of the wish fulfillment element. I think maybe if they made it a little more realistic and made the characters, and this is applicable to all slice of lives, just a bit more like how actual people are. They can have a bit more relatable humor in it and a bit more up-to-date humor. You know, just like how Arby and Chief was, a lot of the humor was around how gamers were at the time.
I would dispute one thing you said. The only thing I'll dispute on that is all slice of life.
Yeah, obviously not all slice of life, but yeah. I mean, by all slice of life, I mean
the majority.
It's something that it's something that any slice of life, regardless of the context, could take into consideration. Is more what I meant. I didn't mean all slice of lives have the problem of being samey.
Yeah,
I more meant that it's something that, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be about figures. It could be about like anything.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Try and do that. That's when when you're talking about slice of life, the one that immediately springs to mind for me is Arya, and Arya was not samey, trust me.
Yeah. I didn't mean to imply that. Like, I just poorly worded that.
No, I understood what you meant. That's why I said the only thing I'm disputing is the all slice of life. That's it.
Yeah.
Everything else you said was fine. I totally agree with it.
Yeah, I didn't say what I meant, though. I meant, like, any sort of style of slice of life can take that on board, as Arya has.
Yeah. Well, Arya is it's the reason why I call it the Queen of Slice of Life, because everything that you said is stuff that Arya did, you know?
Okay.
Arya, basically, it wasn't the same jokes repeated over and over again. What you had were a bunch of characters who were actually believable and charming and cute and funny and also serious and stuff like that. And it threw in environmental things instead. It threw in other people. It threw in other places. It threw in this kind of... One of the things about Arya... Arya's three seasons, and I basically explain Arya like this. The first season is the introduction to the characters and to the city of Neo-Venezia, to a degree. You don't really explore all of the city. The second series is the introduction to the rest of Neo-Venezia and the world of Aqua in general. So that's when you start learning about some of the myths and the legends about Aqua itself, about this terraformed Mars. Right? Nice. And that's when you start learning more about how New Venice actually works, you know, about the salamanders who basically control the atmosphere and basically decide when it rains and when it doesn't, when it's going to be sunny, stuff like that. And you basically learn more about the people who make this whole city and this entire planet work, you know, the administrator side of things.
Yeah, so basically it's topical.
Yeah, the humor. It's topical.
In the context of the universe anyway.
Yeah, well, it's topical and it changes. They have, like, running jokes that run through, but these are more running jokes between friends than they are running jokes towards the viewer.
Mm.
So you'll have, like, the friends basically cracking jokes with each other, and if you've been watching Arya, you'll pick up on it and go, I know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So Arya is kind of different because it does it up like that, but Busso Shinki doesn't do that, and that's one of the reasons why it gets kind of samey.
Yeah.
Mm. But, it's like Kin Iro Mosaic, for example. I watched that, like, quite some time ago, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was entertaining. And, like, a second season came out, like, quite a while ago, and I've been intending to watch it, and I've seen clips of it, and the clips do amuse me, but I can't see myself just wanting to seek it out, because I know it's a slice of life, so I kind of feel like I know what kind of jokes to expect, because they have a similar sort of humor to these sorts of things, and I'd really like to see a slice of life that's just a bit, you know, a little less sort of reliant on the typical slice of life anime humor, and maybe brings a bit more real life sort of humor into it. But then again, there are some slice of life anime that have done that to some degree. I think Haganai is like that to some extent.
Yeah. Well, not just Haganai. There was that one about the girl whose dad was a photographer. I've forgotten the name of it, because that one brought a lot of kind of real world humor into it as well. And
yeah. I've been watching Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid, which is a little bit like a slice of life.
Yeah.
And that one's quite unique because it does show like a lot of, it does have like a lot of the normal stuff you'd expect. I mean, they do have joke on, and it's like, oh, look, it's the swimsuit episode. Oh, look, it's the athlete episode and stuff like that. But then they do, it does have a lot of like real down to earth stuff, like such as they go to like Comic-Con for example, and like there's it just shows the different types of people who go to Comic-Con.
Yeah,
and it's
quite, stuff like that. Yeah,
it's quite different in as opposed to the normal way. It's just like, yeah, we'll go to school every single day and we'll go to this special club and we're all friends there and stuff like that.
Yeah. Anyway, Buso Shinki, it's an interesting one.
Do you know what it actually made us want to do? Listen to hearing Buso Shinki.
Yeah.
It made us want to rewatch Metabots.
Yeah, it's weird because it is a bit like Metabots, only cuter, maybe. Yeah,
it's like the cute girls.
Anyway, leaving that to one side, we are at the end of the show, so we're going to have to love you and leave you for a bit of a break. So we'll be taking a bit of a break while we do some back-end stuff and make some changes. But we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a new show from a new place. Or rather, you'll be hearing this from a new place because we are joining a new service. So look forward to that. But until then, I have been Rob.
I've been Mark.
And I've been Lewis.
We'll see you all later.
Goodbye. Bye. 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 Bye.